Today and tomorrow, we're asking, when and how do we get out of Iraq? My next guest, Kanan Makia, was one of the Iraqi exiles who advocated the U.S. invasion of Iraq. In 1992, he convened the Human Rights Committee for the Iraqi National Congress, a transitional parliament based in northern Iraq. Under the pseudonym Samir al-Khalil, he wrote The Republic of Fear, The Politics of Iraq, which became a bestseller after Iraq invaded Kuwait. Makia is now a professor at Brandeis University and is the founder of the Iraq Memory Foundation, which is preserving the record of Saddam Hussein's crimes against the Iraqi people. Kanan Makia, welcome to Fresh Air. Just start by telling us where you stood on the invasion of Iraq.
I supported the war on the basis of the nature of the necessity to remove this particular odious regime. That was my point of departure in being for the war.
Did it go the way you thought it would?
No, it didn't.
Do you think the U.S. should pull out now? And if not now, when?
I think pulling out now will have very enormous consequences on Iraq to begin with, but also on the whole Middle East. Iraq is not likely to hold together with a precipitate and fast withdrawal, because while there have been very significant gains on the military front with the surge, these have not translated yet into political gains. The political class that has emerged out of the 2003 war is in many ways a disappointment, and it has not yet been able to bring about the consensus amongst many different parties in Iraq. It has not been able to build the coalitions and to create the discourse of a single national country with a purpose heading towards reconstruction and development and so on. It signally failed on all these fronts, and it tends to behave in a very sectarian way. So in those kinds of circumstances, while it is true there have been very significant military gains, withdrawal would simply lead to a rollback of those military successes, because we need to solidify them with political gains.
So what kind of political gains are you looking for? Like, what would be the right time? What would the benchmarks be?
I'm looking for a change in the way the government functions. At the moment, the Iraqi government is beholden to the constituent parts that won victory in the 2005 elections. So, for instance, ministers are parceled out according to different factions. Muqtada Sadr gets X number of ministers and X number of portfolios. The Supreme Council for Islamic Revolution gets another. The Kurds get more portfolios. That means that government is formed not on the basis of people who are best at what they do, are professionals and technicians and technocrats, but rather based upon shifting alliances within the dominant bloc, the Shiite bloc. That system results in paralysis at the governmental level. We have seen it over and over again, and no prime minister of the three or so who've been in office since the change in sovereignty has been able to overcome the inefficiencies it causes. It results in a prime minister who's unable to act and unable to have his authority actually carried out. So that's probably the biggest obstacle. And the other is a way of looking at politics, which is one in which a discourse is created that is really Iraqi rather than sectarian. At the moment, we have people who see themselves as victims of the former regime and who are actively competing with one another as victims. Very few of the leading personalities and very few people inside this political class created by 2003 have yet been able to develop what you might call a new Iraqi program, a program that looks to the construction of a new national identity post the Saddam era.
Well, if American troops stay in Iraq until Iraq solves its sectarian and political problems, that sounds like it might be a really long stay.
Well, I'm not saying, you know, American troops should stay in Iraq until all these problems are solved. That is really, there are two issues here, two separate issues. And I do want to put to you the very difficult dilemma that what is in American best interest may not very well be what is in Iraqi best interests. It's a sad and difficult thing for me to say, but it is nonetheless true. It may very well be that from a purely American sort of self-interest point of view, it might be better to withdraw from certain, you know, sooner after certain steps are taken. But I'm just telling you the consequences on Iraq of such a withdrawal are the ones I think that I've spelled out. From an Iraqi point of view, it's an unmitigated disaster for the United States to withdraw quickly. And once, and if that is true, it's true that it's a disaster for the region, not only for Iraq.
Do you think if the United States stays in Iraq longer, it will be seen as a commitment to Iraq or as a commitment to occupation? I mean, don't a lot of people really hate the United States for its continued presence in their part of the world?
I don't really buy that, Terry. I mean, I never did, and I still don't think it's true. The errors and mistakes did lead large numbers of people to say, my God, I have no idea. They were so incompetent. I mean, I can't believe this. So some people say they're better off not having been there in the first place. But when push comes to shove, take, for instance, the Sunni community in Iraq today. It today, of all people, which was the biggest community behind the insurgency, least wants the United States to withdraw, because it now is turning increasingly to the United States as a protector, as a guarantor of its rights inside Iraq until the political situation straightens out. So things are never quite what they seem. True, there was an occupation, but the occupation is now in the past also. The United States is no longer determining everything about Iraqi affairs. It's playing a very important role in the security arena, but it does not decide legislation, constitutional issues, and so on and so forth. Iraqis do that.
Kanan Makiya, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Kanan Makiya is a professor at Brandeis University and founder of the Iraq Memory Foundation.